crazy good to have you guys here. And it's also crazy good there's not a camera like 6 feet in front of my face. So you can still see me at home, but I can't see that camera jammed in my face. And in case you guys wonder, do I have a mask? Yes, I do. I do. And of course, I've got the old 1002 mask, which is styling around the state of Iowa. And I love that. It's yet another reminder for me to pray and a reminder for all of us to pray. Today, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to be looking at 21 verses, and they are packed full of stuff. But before we get to Ephesians chapter 5, I have to tell you guys something about me. I just got back from vacation. A whole week with my family at the lake. I'm exhausted. I couldn't wait to get home to sleep in my own bed. I don't know if you know anything about my family, but I have 7 children. Several of them are married. They decided to go ahead and have kids, so I have 11 grandchildren. Number 12 is also on the way. And we were all in one house at the lake, all at the same time, and I am now Papa. I heard Papa watch 10 million times. I did not get a good night's rest. I was going from the time that the sun went up until the time that the sun went down. I smelt like fish. I looked like a disaster. I had kids on me all of the time, and I was constantly hearing, Papa, Papa. And even when the kids were saying, Dad, I was confused about that because I thought, certainly they wanted me. Last night when I got in my bed to go to sleep, I thought, what a great week. What a great week to be with family. And as we get to Ephesians chapter 5, I want to draw your attention to the reality of what family is supposed to look like. And look what Paul said when he's writing to the Ephesians as he addressed them in this chapter. Look at verse 1. He says, therefore, and that's everything that has gone before in Ephesians to this point, be imitators of God, which is a crazy thing to say. But he says this, as dearly loved children. I don't know what your relationship feels like to God, but I know what my grandkids' relationship feels like to me. And didn't Paul write to the Romans that because of what Jesus did, and Paul writes about it in Ephesians, the first several chapters, because of what Jesus did for us to bring us into the family, that we can actually cry out to God, Papa, watch. And our relationship to God, can't we say to him, Abba, Father? And aren't we connected to him as dearly loved children? I remember one of my grandsons this week when I had him one-on-one. I don't know what disaster was taking place, so it was just me and him. He had been the one who got in trouble most all week long. And I thought, oh man, I'm so glad I'm not your dad, because that's a lot of work. And I just said to him, and I'm not going to name him. You can figure out who it is if you're around my family much. I said, dude, come on. Here's the thing. Who loves you more than your parents? Nobody. I said, who wants your good more than your parents? Nobody. Who understands life and you more than your parents? Nobody. Here is the trick to a happy life for you. Hear what they say and do what they say immediately, and your life will be awesome. You got that, buddy? Okay. The next thing that his mom said, what do you think his response was? Why? What you want me to do, even though I know you love me more than anybody, is not what I want to do in this moment. And so in my heart, I'm going to listen to me rather than you, even though you exist for my good and you want only what's best for me. I am going to do what I want. And here's another thing that all my grandkids say all the time. I do it myself. And don't we still find ourselves in that position even as full-grown humans in relationship to God? How many of us, when we come to simple passages like this, still in our heart there's a resistance? As dearly loved children, why don't we just do what God says and know that He wants our good and know that He's only telling us to do these things for our benefit? Why do we go to God and say, why? I'll do it myself. Paul continues, he says, as dearly loved children, walk in love as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrificial and fragrant offering to God. He has pleased God with what he did. But, he says, verse 3, sexual immorality and impurity or greed should not even be heard of among you, as is proper for the saints. Obscene and foolish talking or crude joking, they're not suitable, but rather giving thanks. For know and recognize this, every sexually immoral, impure, or greedy person who is an idolater does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now we have three paragraphs in the verses that I'm going to be teaching today, and I want to draw from it kind of the major command in each of the paragraphs. And then I want us to evaluate our lives a little bit and ask ourselves, are we actually leaning in to the voice of our loving Father? Are we leaning in away and crying out, why? Are we actually living happily in obedience to Him? Or are we continuing to do things our own way and go our own path, even knowing that God has only our good in mind? And you see, the first thing that we're going to be looking at in this first section, he says, walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us. Be imitators of God. I was talking to one of my sons, my youngest son, actually, and I said to him after the week was over, which one of my kids do you think is most like me? Now that's a scary thing to ask your son. Because you know what he's going to do? He's going to think about that, and he's going to think about your qualities and the way that you are and the way that you behave and the way that you talk and the things that you do, and then he's going to pick the child who best emulates or imitates you, and he's going to actually say that out loud, and then you're going to evaluate their life and what they say and what they do and how they act and how they treat others, and you're going to say, that's what I look like. And isn't that what God says? Be like me. And here's the two things that I want to put in your mind. How can you be like God? Well, he said it in Ephesians chapter 4. Guys, you need to learn to forgive each other. Don't let any bitterness exist in the family of God. Have you noticed this about people? They hurt you, don't they? They disappoint you, don't they? They're not Jesus, are they? And when they hurt you, or when they disappoint you, or when they do something, you tend to hold that against them and hold them in prison about them. But does God do that to us? No, he forgives us our sins. If we confess our sins, he forgives us our sin and cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And the first way that we can imitate God is to forgive those who have hurt us. Let them go. Forgive one another, the Bible says, just as God has forgiven you. Is there anybody in your life that you're holding bitterness against? And particularly in the family of God, someone who has wronged you deeply, something they said or did, forgive them. But then it goes beyond that. The other way that we can imitate God is to love them unconditionally. Do you guys have favorites? That's another question that was asked me a lot, even from my own family. They know it's wrong to have favorites. Oh, who is your favorite? Here's what I've discovered about that. Don't you tend to love people who really love you? Don't you tend to lean into people who really lean into you? And hasn't God poured out his love on us so that we can imitate him, so that we can receive everything that we need from him, so that we can pour that out on others? Look what it says. No sexual immorality, no impurity, no greed. These things are inappropriate for God's people. No obscene talk, no foolish talking, no crude joking. They're unsuitable for God's people. Why? Because they're not from God. I love Ephesians 4:29. It says this, don't let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only the kind of words that are helpful for building people up and not for tearing people down. Paul asks us to evaluate our morals. Have you walked in love with your mind, the way that you look at other people and the way that you think about other people? Have you engaged in immorality with your thoughts? In Colossians, it says, let's fix our minds on Jesus. Set your minds on things above where God is seated at the right hand of God, and don't put your mind on these earthly things. Earlier in Ephesians, it said that these people are engaging in sexual immorality and they practice these things and they have a desire for more and more and more. Let me ask you a question. Men and women, when is the last time that you viewed something that you knew you shouldn't watch? And you didn't have a desire to do that, but after it is over, you felt great about having done it. And when was the time that you looked at something or did something and then decided afterwards, I don't ever want to do that again? Oh, immediately afterwards. But then what happens? I want more and more and more. And what is this unsensible desire for those things that don't satisfy? Oh, what about our money? He went in through that. Did you see verse 5? He says, know this for certain. That's why he says, for know and recognize. No sexually immoral, impure, or greedy person who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. And you say, well, Pastor Troy, I am those things. In my thoughts, with my money, with my words. What about the first few chapters where Christ did it all? And you remember last week when Paul, when Mark was trying to teach us? Yes, positionally we have these things in God. We can't earn our place by God. But since we have been given through Christ a relationship with God, we have the opportunity to walk worthy of the calling that he has put on us as Christians. And we're to set our old ways aside and put on Jesus, who's being conformed to these new ways. Guys, are you walking in forgiveness? Are you walking in love? He goes on in the next paragraph, verse 6, he says, hey, don't let anyone deceive you with empty arguments, for God's wrath is coming against the disobedient because of all of these things. Therefore, do not become partners with them, for you were once in darkness. That's formerly how you were, but now you're in the light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists of goodness and righteousness and truth, testing what is pleasing to the Lord. Don't participate in the fruitless works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what is done in secret. Everything exposed to the light is made visible, For what makes everything visible is light. Therefore it is said, get up, sleeper, and rise up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So the first one is to walk in love. And in this section, the second one is to live as children of light. Have you noticed that light exposes things? When he says that we're to expose things, does it say that we're supposed to act like a flashlight and shine it on one another and say, oh, I saw what you said. You see this? This is my beacon of sinlessness. I know that you did coarse joking. I know that you looked at something you shouldn't look at. As we as Christians, are we supposed to be going around and examining other people and just shining the light on their face? How many of you guys have had that before? Someone actually shining a light on you. Is that what this passage is saying? How many just love Christians who act like that? I just love it when people go around pointing out how much I messed up. Isn't that what it says? Don't participate, but expose it. Well, here's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine in such a way that men will see your good works and will glorify your Father who is in heaven. Guys, there's nothing more drawing to darkness than a light that shines in the midst of it. There is nothing more captivating to the eye than when your life is in darkness and you see something bright out there and shining. You want it. And what Paul is saying to these Ephesians, he's saying, don't live like you used to live. Put all of that off, because there are people who need what you have, the Holy Spirit that is living in you, and live in such a way that people are drawn to the reality of that light, and their darkness is also exposed. One of my dad's favorite lines, famous lines, is this. Families dysfunction over secrets. I'm really, really, really bad at keeping secrets. Ask anybody. I mean, when I know it, I'm gonna probably tell somebody. So if you want to keep a secret, don't tell me. Especially if it's good news. Because I'm gonna blab that out. Because I'm so excited about your good news. And if I see somebody that knows you, even though it's your secret to tell and not my secret to tell, I know that they're gonna get excited. So I'm gonna share your good secret. So just for a clue, don't share with me your happy news if you don't want me to share it with everybody that I know. I am not good at keeping your secrets. And here's another thing. If you have sinful, dark secrets, don't come to me for counseling. Because I might honor you as a pastor and not share that with everybody, but I promise you, I'm gonna do everything I can to help you to expose that darkness in your life so you can bring it to the light, so you can be done with it, because your secrets will destroy your faith. And what does John say? Walk in the light as he is in the light, and then we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us of all unrighteousness and all our secrets. We all have secrets in the past, and when we bring them to the light, they're exposed, and we can deal with them and be done with them, and then we can be a part of the light that actually is drawing people into relationship with God. The church is not a place for secrets. The church is a place where we can share the truth about who we are, we can get forgiveness, and we can walk in the light. Paul says, such were some of you, but it's your past. And until you get it into the light, it's gonna be a part of your presence, because your secrets will grip you. I will never forget, one of my favorite relationships was with a woman who had been in an inappropriate sexual relationship with a leader in the church for almost a decade. And when she came into my office, just heavy with her sin, I felt like she needed to confess something. She confessed to me what was true about that relationship. And she said there was just a burden that was lifted from her soul. And we began to walk through the process of healing and letting her know that that sin did not define her and that she could walk in the forgiveness and righteousness of God. And now today she is free from that relationship and she's free from that sin and she's able to walk in the light. And it doesn't matter what she did in the past or who did it to her in the past. She's living in the freedom of the light. And this is what this passage is saying. Walk in the light. Don't participate in the darkness. Be free from that. Don't hold these secrets. Let them go. Expose them. And as we do that together, guys, what did Mark even say last week that one of our elders say? When we became a forgiving and loving community that actually just poured out God's grace and forgiveness on others, and we actually knew each other's past but didn't judge each other because of that, because Jesus has taken all that, there wouldn't be enough seats, even in a COVID period. Because we all would want that and be drawn to it. And the final paragraph that we have starts with verse 15. So number one, how do we imitate God? Walk in love. Number two, live as children of the light. And then number three, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Let's look at these verses together. Verse 15. Pay careful attention then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, literally. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. And what does that look like? Well, you'll begin to speak to one another in psalms and in hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. You know, Colossians is kind of the cliff notes of Ephesians. And this Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the word of God dwell in you richly and speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melodies in your heart to one another toward God. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. I love Jo Foch. She's a great Bible teacher. Back in the day, I used to listen to him all of the time, and he was a preacher in Philadelphia, and he says, how many times should be filled with the Spirit? When you're filled with the Spirit, you remember when you get saved, when you first believe, the Holy Spirit seals us, Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 1, and that is the seal of our inheritance that is to come. The Holy Spirit comes in us to one time, but then there's this constant filling of the Holy Spirit, and what Joe used to say is, because we leak. And as we ask for God to fill us up, we can be full of Spirit and we can behave appropriately in moments of time. And then what happens? Something stirs the bucket and it gets spilled out, or something pours out the bottom, and we have so little of the Holy Spirit on us that we're not living and acting, behaving like Jesus at all anymore. Have you done that? Here's what it looks like for me. I can do awesome for short periods of time. How about you? And then life happens. And you're right back to what? I had a friend once who was pretty foul with his words. And we were setting off fireworks together and lighting them off. And we had spent quite a bit of money, so they were pretty significant fireworks. And he had the punk, you know, that you light the fireworks with. And he accidentally set the punk on a bomb that hadn't been put in the cannon. Thankfully, we were at a lake, and so he shoots one off and it goes, and then he hears a you know, the sound of a lit firework, but realizes it's not in the cannon. I realize it's not in the cannon. We were there with our whole family, children included, and I thought, we're all gonna die. And he grabs a firework and he throws it. And as soon as it submerges in the water, it explodes, and there's just like this, the water just goes, and all is well. And he looks at me and he says, well, something really good just happened. I thought, man, you about killed my family. And I said, what good happened? He said, well, I don't swear anymore. Because if there was ever an appropriate time to swear, that would have been it. And he realized that through the ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit, something had changed in him, that an event that used to get about him profane words was gone. And isn't that the way it is when we're constantly filled with the Holy Spirit, that these incremental changes don't happen overnight, but we see, hey, I'm not like that anymore. I'm different. One of the things that you'll recognize when you become a grandparent is you're not like a parent anymore. You do have more patience. Well, in some instances, you actually can be more loving. My kids often will say when I'm dealing with their kids, wow, Dad, you have changed. Well, thank God for that. Guys, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to obey the will of God? What is the will of God for your life? Do you know what God wants you to do? If all we had was these verses, you'd have plenty to do for the rest of your life, wouldn't you? Do that. Walk in love. Live as children of the light. Keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then next week, he's going to get into the nitty-gritty of close, proximate relationships. Husbands, wives, parents, kids. But he ends this passage by saying, guys, we're just people. And what do we need to do? We need to submit to one another in the fear of Christ. Jesus, help us to learn what it means to walk in the light as you is in the light and to have fellowship one with another. It's really hard to imitate you, because you're perfect. But you've poured out your love on us so that we have your Holy Spirit living in us and we can hear your voice. We just put it out so often. We say, why? Or we want to do it ourselves. But Lord, we know in our heart of hearts that we do want to have the mind of Christ. We do want to have the activity of the Spirit so that we can have the blessing that you give to your sons and daughters. How awesome it is that we get to be called the sons of God. Help us to live like that, Lord. Encourage us as we walk in this journey of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.